This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing of Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. We have a special in-studio guest today, Kyle Hirschelman from the Journal News in Hillsboro. Good enough to join us, and he's making us all look bad.
Kyle, yes, he is. He's a dapper dude,
but
he's really dapper today.
Yeah. Looking like Grantland Rice. Slick.
I'm just trying to bring a little sophistication back to print journalism.
You're on your way.
Why? You mean the Globe and pieces like that have really trashed the print media?
I don't have an opinion on other. I'm just trying to class up.
I don't think you guys have to worry.
What was that name you used there, Tim Grantland Rice?
Yeah.
Is he the guy that invented Rice Krispies?
Yeah, I think he was in on the ground floor of that.
Was he?
In terms of the investing, yeah.
I think he's crackle.
Yeah, he lived in Battle Creek, Michigan, yeah.
That's
the guy.
So we'll be talking to Kay Hirsch throughout the morning here on Sports Saturday. We've got a 90-minute edition of Sports Saturday for you today as we will take you right up to Fighting Illini football this morning. They will host Cincinnati live at 10:30.
So any classic Kay Hirsch brings to the program, we're going to try to rip apart in 90 minutes.
Oh, we can do that.
Yeah,
we don't need 90
we're
minutes.
We're experts at that. We can do that.
That in the first segment if we want to.
And believe it or not, the Fighting Illini are going for victory number two today.
I have a feeling we'll be saying that a lot this year. The Fighting Illini going for victory number two today.
Yeah.
That will be the theme.
You know, I guess in some cases it'll all depend on whether the other team shows up or not.
That would have a lot to do with it. They would have a fighting chance
if
the opponent's bus broke down on the way to Memorial Stadium. They would have a chance.
It'd probably be close to half for the score, though.
I'll be shocked if it goes well today.
Well, all I know is that in July, and of course, as an Illini affiliate, we have certain obligations to the Illini Sports Network. We run some of their promotional ads. They were basically giving away like $2 tickets to the Big Ten game.
So
they can fill the place up because they know they're going, oh my God, we're going to be so awful. We're going to have to give away tickets practically.
And Memorial Stadium, the renovations they've done, it's a beautiful facility.
Yeah,
looks great.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, the team itself leaves a little to be desired.
Well, you know, once they get to the point of actually paying people to come in,
then they'll have something going.
They're missing the point here. The beautiful stadium, people just don't come in and sit there and say, this is beautiful. They want to see something down on the field.
Ask the people in Pittsburgh.
Well, unless it's Wrigley Field. That's the only – I'm serious. Wrigley Field is the only stadium pre-Bartman where people would show up just to drink beer and watch the grass grow.
But you know what? The crowds have dropped off dramatically because of such – pathetic baseball.
Well, I said pre-Bartman.
Yeah.
Since the Bartman incident, things have changed up there on the north side.
At the cost of...
And you love putting that Bartman name in there, don't
you?
Yeah, just a little jab now and then.
Sticking in there once in a while. Yeah.
And Tim and I have both been there, and this Wrigley Field is still one of the greatest places to go and watch a ball game or watch the people. And don't ask me why, because it's an ugly stadium, it's an old stadium, but it's just a fun place.
I mean this with the most respect I could possibly mean it with. It's the nicest dump I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, you said when you get your tickets, you throw $5 in the pot and bet who's going to be the one sitting behind one of them big steel pillars, you know, so you can't see nothing.
It's got character.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough of Cub bashing for now. We've got 90 minutes. We could probably get a little more of that in later. But high school football is the reason that we are all here and had a lot of exciting, entertaining games last night.
Yes, week number two of the high school football season in the South Central Conference last night. The Gillespie Miners moved to 2-0 on the season. Miners had a good second half and beat the Purple Panthers of Litchfield 42-29. That game was tied at 14 at the half. At Staunton last night, the Bulldogs were in good shape from the get-go. Staunton scored on their first play from scrimmage. The Dogs beat the Hilltoppers 34-13, so the Bulldogs off to a 2-0 start. Carlinville just rolls over Vandea. They scored early and they scored often. 46-0, the final over the Vandals. Greenville did the same thing to Southwestern last night, so the Comets are off to a 2-0 start. And by the way, Greenville, Carlinville, week number 3 on the radio. Yes, thank you.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Whoever put that on, smart.
How about that? And, you know, just, yeah, once in a while. Blind hog finds an acorn. 42-0, the final, Greenville over Southwestern. And Pena picks up their first win last night, 27-7 over Roxana. In Sangamo Conference play, Williamsville, you talk about a juggernaut. Those guys just keep on rolling. 52-20, the win over North Mac last night. Bullets off to a 2-0 start, along with Auburn. Auburn, a 44-14 winner over Athens last night. New Berlin beat Pawnee 34-6. Pleasant Plains squeaked by Sangamon Valley 14-6. And Porta beat up on Riverton 44-19. In non-conference play last night, even though these are teams that are involved in the Prairie State Conference, these games were non-conference games last night. They'll have their conference matchups later. Nokomis beat Decatur Lutheran 42-0. Mount Olive beat Bunker Hill 55-14. South Fork shut out by St. Thomas More out of Champaign 49-0. Quincy Notre Dame beat Alton Marquette 41-7. East Alton Wood River 12, Metro East Lutheran 0. Greenfield over Mendon Unity 40-7. Carrollton 34-8 over Triopia. Camp Point Central beat up on Calhoun 55-0. Pleasant Hill, not quite as strong, just a 54-0 win over ISD. And Brown County beat Winchester 46-28. Today, Route hosts North Green.
So the biggest shutout there was 55-0. Was that the...
55. There was one score earlier. I read 71-0.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and how many times...
And by the way, the scores are on the website, WSMIRadio.com. So.
How many times on Saturday morning are we going to sit here and hear that Calhoun got shut out and that bad?
Not often.
Not often.
Not often.
Yeah. So,
well, you mentioned the Comets win over the Birds, and if you're Southwestern, just a bad week to be playing Greenville.
Yeah.
You knew they were going to come out fired up and looking to make a statement. Yeah. And I would say they did it last night.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a good week to play Greenville.
Well, that's a true statement.
You know, I mean they'll be challenged a few times during the regular season, I think. You know, by Carlinville and maybe even some of the other teams, Gillespie or Staunton or somebody like that. But, I mean, they're just so talented. I mean, they returned a lot from last season's team, and they have a bunch of weapons. And I know that they're looking – without looking ahead, they're looking toward the postseason, you know, and making a long run again.
And they've just got that confidence. You can see it when they're on the field that they just expect to get it done. And my goodness, do they.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the difference between the times that I've seen them play Litchfield over the last few years, the difference between them their play in the first half and their play in the second half is light years. It just seems like they are able to kind of flip a switch and kind of pull away in the second half.
And we talk from time to time about coaches making adjustments, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's football, basketball, soccer, first half versus second half. Whoever's able to make the adjustments in the second half generally is the victor. And, you know, Greenville and Hutch does a great job of doing exactly that. And the thing of it is they have a great game plan going in, so there's just maybe just a little bit of tweaking that goes on, but they do make the adjustments that are necessary.
And the big thing Hutch has did over the years is he's got these kids to feed into his program. They believe in his program, and from the freshman up, they're ready to go. And, boy, this is how you have a successful football team.
Well, and the other way how you have a successful football team is just speed, speed, speed. And it's going on close to a decade now where Greenville just has speed at every skill position. I mean, certainly more than any team in the South Central Conference across the board. You know, we see Carlinville, good speed from the tailback position, maybe a speedy wide receiver. But Greenville, it seems every year they've got two or three wideouts who are the fastest guy in the field.
Yeah.
Their tailback is the fastest, you know, one of the fastest guys in the field. So they just, they're a speed nightmare.
Well, you look at, like, the, you know, whenever you get to the spring and the track sectionals, you know, last year it was Cameron Walter, and, you know, this year, you know, you look at like the hurdles finals and there's always a light shoe in there or a Lawrence or somebody like that in one of the dashes or something, you know, and they just, they carry that speed over from football to track and vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, you can cover, you know, you can double one fast guy, but you can't double three fast guys.
That's what I used to always tell the guys down to prison when he's playing sports.
I'd say,
I know why you guys can run faster than I can, because I've never jumped over a car hood with a TV on my shoulder. So, I don't have that speed.
It's time for a break.
I don't think that's the case with Greenville.
It's time for a break.
No, it's not the case with Greenville. Not at
all. Well, with that in mind, we're going to take a break. We got more football conversation coming up following these messages.
If we're on air.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with a real community bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And at 9:16, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. Expect a high of around 88 degrees. Partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain for tonight. We'll have a low of around 65 degrees. Heading into tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Still a chance for some rain. Expect a high of around 88 degrees on Sunday. At 9:16, we have a temperature reading of 74 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
When packing school lunches, pack the nutrition your kids need for growing and learning. Include foods from all parts of the food pyramid. For sandwiches that aren't soggy, spread whole wheat bread with farmer-owned Prairie Farms butter before you add the filling. For the thermos, fill it with Prairie Farms milk or chocolate milk, or if you're out of fruit, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. For nutritious and delicious school lunches, taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms. Listen for daytime broadcasts of St. Louis Cardinals baseball on WSMI AM 1540. Brought to you by Save More Pharmacy and Gift Shop on the Square in Verdon. Sloan Implement, your John Deere dealer in Carlinville, Litchfield, Verdon, Hamel, and Vandalia. Madison Communications, your internet source. And by Litchfield Community Savings at State and Union in Litchfield. And for the broadcast schedule of Cardinals baseball, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
And at 9:18, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Tobin Ott, thank you very much. And Kyle Hirschelman from the Journal News joining us in studio today. And joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. Cavies off to a 2-0 start. And Chad, when you post a victory like you did last night, I would imagine a lot of things that make a coach happy come out of that ball game.
We've had a great start to the season. I think everything seems to be coming together. And, we proved that we can throw it a little bit last time. We proved we could run it a little bit, and we were real happy with our defensive performance. So, overall, pretty pleased.
And, Chad, if Carlinville can get to where it's a balanced offensive attack, I would imagine that's kind of a nightmare scenario for the rest of the conference.
Well, we hope so. We kind of made an offensive switch to more of an open type of offense. dare I ever use the word spread, but you know, it seems to be the new fad. But we were still run first. But you know, Joke threw the ball extremely well last night, made some great reads, and I'm not sure that they were ready for that phase of it. And I know Vandalia, they had a couple key injuries from week one that plagued them a little bit as well.
Chet, talk about the confidence level of Job, if you could, just being in his second year now as the varsity starter.
Well, I mean, as you and I talked before, I mean, obviously living with the coach is also a benefit and a nightmare all rolled up in the same. But, you know, his confidence, his poise has really been the difference, I think, between last year and this year. Being able to make some reads and actually just kind of running the show out there, it's really been an added bonus of an extension of me, I think, on the field.
Chan, do you think that Job is able to and we hear athletes and people talk about able to slow the game down a little bit. Is he able to do that and take his time, even though the game's progressing at a quick pace? Is he able to, in his mind, slow it down and make the right read?
Yeah, I really do, Terry. I mean, you know, he had the great pleasure of riding with me every day over to Nokomis to work with Grandpa. So he got drilled for 40 minutes there and 40 minutes back. So I think, you know, those things, those little things that make the difference and, as you said, see it before it's ready to be there type things. You know, I think week one, he got his feet wet. And week two, I think he was getting even more comfortable with it last night, and it showed.
Chet, it seems a lot of times in football, and we in the media are as guilty of it as anyone, that no one really talks about an offensive line unless the quarterback's all dirty and the running backs aren't getting any yardage. But when you pass like you did last night and run like you did last night, obviously your offensive line was doing very good things.
Well, as you guys know, everybody wants to talk about the two great athletes that we lost, and by all means, you can't replace those two, and you only get that luxury in life a couple times to have. But we returned three linemen. And another guy saw some time last year, so and we felt very comfortable in the offseason with our offensive line. So it's not been a shock to us, but I think it's been a shock to everyone else how well they've performed and have adjusted. And when you don't change their blocking schemes very much from year to year, they really get salty at them, and they're doing a great job this year.
And your ball club has the ability for the quick strike. I mean, you know, you're not very deep into the ball game, and boom, the opposing team's down by two touchdowns, and they're scratching their heads going, what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, that is the adjustment this year. You know, last year we always had those two kids that could definitely take it to the house at any point in time, and we have that with Kenny Miles and Ladarius, and now we have that in the passing game. So that's a new adjustment for the head coach because he's learning how to call plays with that sort of stuff. I mean, last year we were throwing the ball two times a game. Last night we threw it 11 times in a half. So that's taken a little adjustment period as well for our coaching staff.
Chet, obviously, Comet Week, and I would imagine every game is important in high school football, but there only being nine of them. But I would think that the week that the Greenville Comets come up, that everyone kind of has a little maybe extra pep in their step.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is one of those games that you circle as a coaching staff. You don't want to look ahead of anything, but you know everybody wanted us to both be 2-0. They're ranked in the state, and they're coming to our place. And last year, obviously, we had their number at their place, so it'll be a tremendous atmosphere. And as you guys were saying earlier, you know they do a great job over there with their program, and you know we're going to try to make some adjustments and watch some film later today, and hopefully we'll see how it goes.
And, Coach, did you have to stress to your players about not looking ahead to this Greenville game as you were preparing for Vandalia, or were they pretty good about actually preparing with the one-game-at-a-time philosophy?
Well, I tell you what, I think they were pretty good at it. You know, our practice regimen is one that God, Terry, and I have talked about for years, and you know we don't give them much time to think or much time to talk or those types of things. So you know it's pretty regimented, and I think the expectation level is do what we do, and that's always kind of been our philosophy: is do what we do, and don't worry about what your opponent does. So if you take care of yourself, then usually at the end of the night, you're on the right end of things.
Well, Chad, you mentioned about Greenville's program, but let's mention Carnival has a program there too, and they're doing okay.
Well. Yeah, I did not build the tradition, but I hold it personal to my heart that I keep it going. So, you know, there's a great, rich tradition here in Carnival with football, and I think the kids buy into that, and it's a tremendous atmosphere for me personally to be around and to be part of.
Well, Chad, it's going to be a great atmosphere next Friday night at Carlinville when the Comets come into town. We'll have the game on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. Chad, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers and the Cavies and the Comets. That has kind of become the preeminent game in the South Central Conference over the last number of years. And Chad mentioned it last year. I think it was 59-14 was the final. We were there that night. I remember it. And it was stunned silence from the Greenville faithful. They have not seen their Comets have that happen to them on their home field very often. And so you know that Greenville's rolling into Carlinville next week with a message to send.
And that was a kind of a landmark game for the Greenville ball club, because beyond that game, they were a different ball club.
They didn't lose again to the state semifinal.
They didn't lose again, yeah, till deep into the playoffs. So, you know, Carlinville basically woke up a sleeping giant last year. And, you know, this, I think this just adds to this coming week's game. You know, you have two great quarterbacks. You have two great programs there. You know, it should be everything you want in a high school football match.
No doubt about it. And Carlinville, to me, is the one of the programs in the South Central, they're not afraid of Greenville.
No.
You know,
no,
when they step on the field, they expect to beat Greenville. A lot of times teams go on the field with Greenville and you're thinking, we got to play perfect tonight. But you heard Chad say it. Yeah. We do what we do. And they've got to stop what we do.
Well, that goes back to Dad.
That's right.
You know.
There's something to be said for that, though.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's ingrained in Chad, and that's just how it's going to be. And nobody ever questions it because, you know, we're going to do what we do and do it best. And if we get beat, we get beat. But, you know, we're going to probably stand a pretty good chance of winning.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things about this game is it's in week three, so there's plenty of time to build up momentum leading into the playoffs. You know, if like last year you had that just meltdown of a loss that Greenville had, they had the ability to play angry afterwards for the next, you know, 6 weeks and take that momentum into the playoffs.
It'd be nice to see K. Hirsch maybe for the schedules to get flipped around to where maybe Greenville Carlinville could be week nine. Oh.
Yeah, and the South Central Conference schedule hasn't changed and since, you know, they've really reestablished it. You know, as for covering Litchfield, I could see Greenville week one, and I know I'm not seeing them at their best. You know, I know later down the season they're a lot better, and you know, I think there's something to be said with even just like pushing back the games one week at a time.
Yeah.
You know, start with the team that you ended with last season with, but you know, I mean, you got to play Greenville sometime, and for Carlinville, I think, you know, earlier. I mean, for both teams, actually, you know, whenever you have a good team, I mean, they're just kind of starting to get rolling now. So, I mean, obviously you're not going to see them either team at their best, but you're still going to see a pretty good game.
But oh, we'll see a great game. But, man, if they played in week nine every year, more times than not, they would both be 8-0, and the conference would be coming down to it. Oh, it'd be fabulous.
It would be an additional playoff game.
That's right.
It would be.
Really? Well, and I think Carlinville, you know, Chad kind of mentioned it, that some people are maybe a little bit surprised, myself included. You know, I thought they might be a little bit down with some of the talent that they lost from last year. And then, you know, after rolling Roxana pretty solid Roxana team, after beating them pretty good, you know, and then dropping in the AP poll, you know, with votes, which, I mean, I take that for what it's worth. But still, I mean, you know, even if it doesn't, you know, that's not something Chad looks at. You know, it's something the players look at.
No question. The thing about the high school AP poll, more than like even the college AP poll, is a lot of these people have never even probably been to the towns.
No.
Of the teams they're voted on. Greenville's got the rep now because they've been in the state semifinals so many years now. So people around the state know Greenville because they're always one of the last teams standing. Whereas Carlinville, maybe around the state, doesn't get the same type of respect. So even though they win big, the AP voters who have probably never even been to Carlinville, like, let's drop them.
And I think there's a little bit of a stigma with the closed conference, too.
Yeah,
and you're looking at two schools here where they don't use the word rebuild. It's just reload.
Reload, and that was literally what Chad said last week. That was their motto, probably hanging in their weight room. Reload.
And it doesn't make any difference what the darn polls. You know, the polls are for the fans.
That's right.
They're not for the players. Right. They're not for the coaches. They're not for the schools. They're not for the teams. The teams play nine ball games, and if you If you are successful more often than not, you're going to make the playoffs. And what you want to do is be extremely successful so you get a very high seed and a good draw in the opening round of the playoffs. So, you know, that's what it all boils down to. You know, who cares what the polls say? Because you're right. 99% of the people voting, and Kyle knows about this, 99% of the people voting have never even looked at a score this year.
Well,
they just see, okay, they won. Oh, well, let's go ahead and vote for them.
That's why Kyle's trying to bring class back to print right. journalism.
Exactly. Well, and Terry's right, you know, about the polls being for the fans. But I think you're remiss if you don't say that the players don't look at them some, because you're dealing with, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, you know, and you know, in an era where, you know, everything's so out there, you know, if somebody mouths off on Twitter, you know, and says that we're going to beat so-and-so, all of a sudden that becomes locker room material.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I think sometimes, like a lot of people, you know, I don't put much stock in polls because it's just basically one or a group of people's opinion. But, you know, they may have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
Well, I wonder if you're a coach, if you are Chad Easterday, and, you know, obviously he doesn't look at that stuff, but if a player comes to him and tells them, you know, hey, we had a fantastic win in week one and we dropped in the polls, do you use that in your, you
Maybe.
Know, your pregame speech?
Number one, Chad will say, you're not going to read the polls anymore.
Well,
okay,
that's probably the first
thing. We
say,
have
yes.
more important things to worry about than reading polls, because we have a ball game coming up. I guarantee you, that thought is put out of the mind immediately.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So the Carlinville Cavaliers and Greenville Comets will square off next week, a game you'll hear on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. Joining us on the phone now is the head coach of another 2-0 club around the area, Gabe Cesaretti of the Nokomis Redskins, joining us now on the phone. And I guess, Gabe, first off, before we get to the game, Kyle was just talking about Twitter. Do you have a no-tweet ban on your club, or are your kids allowed to tweet in season?
Well, I mean, they're allowed to tweet, I guess. I don't really. I mean, I've even got a Twitter account, but I hardly ever check it, so I'm not on there much. But they're allowed to. But I would say the first time I hear something negative on there, we may change that rule.
That's that, absolutely. So coming off a big win last night, and I guess, Gabe, it's kind of an odd scenario with the Prairie State this year that you're playing in a conference opponent, but yet it's a non-conference game.
Yeah, we had the same situation last year, so I mean, we were kind of used to it. But it's a different situation until next year when we get more teams coming in the conference.
Hey, Gabe, you kind of knew what Decatur Lutheran was bringing to the table. How do you keep your guys focused, and especially since you're going to see them twice? How do you keep them focused and keep them doing, you know, what you guys have in store for the rest of the season? I mean, you know, which obviously you hope is a deep playoff run.
We just kind of keep focused. Like, you know, you try to take one week at a time, try to do the same things every week. This year with Decatur Lutheran, we didn't really know what to expect a whole lot because they lost a lot of seniors last year, but their numbers grew quite a bit. I think they had a couple of, you know, new kids transfer in there and stuff like that. So, but overall, it's just keeping them focused. You just got to play one week at a time, and you got to try to drill that in their heads week in, week out.
Well, Gabe, I know last week you said that the offensive line performance from your Skins, I believe you said, was one of the best you'd ever seen. Where did they rank this last week?
I'd say it was a little down from the week before, but I think we've had a couple guys that weren't feeling good all week. The bus ride up there was a hot one last night for some. I mean, it just I didn't like it any more than they did. but like I said, a couple illnesses and I really think we got off the bus last night, not quite as focused as we needed to be, mainly because, you know, they may have kind of overlooked them because they got a big game coming up this week. But in the second half, they really turned their focus back around and cranked it up and played very good. And a lot of the night, I mean, Lutheran was blitzing about nine guys. So, I mean, we did a decent job blocking, just sometimes they sent more guys than we had.
And Gabe, you know, there's been a lot of improvements and a lot of things over the years, but one thing that hasn't really improved is the school bus ride.
No, for sure. We're trying to get the air conditioner turned on last night, and just don't have
The air conditioner is all windows down 50 mile an hour. That's your air conditioning.
Yeah, anytime you hit a red light, it shuts the air off.
Yeah.
Gabe Cesaretti, the head coach of the Nokomis Redskins, joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And obviously, Gabe, a 2-0 start, that's exactly what you had hoped for in the offseason.
Yeah, we're definitely sitting right where we want to be, and we got, you know, Fisher coming in next Saturday, and they're much improved from last year. They were pretty young last year. They're real big and physical, especially down front. So, I mean, this is just the challenge we need, and, you know, they look good. We look good right now, so it ought to be a good ball game Saturday.
Is there anything different that you do for a Saturday game? I know you have two on the schedule this week or this year with Alton Marquette also on Saturday. Is there anything different that you do on for a Saturday game as opposed to a Friday night game?
Not a whole lot. I mean, obviously you get the little extra day of practice, but I think more than anything, it's one of them things where if you do want to make a playoff run, it kind of gives you a little taste of the Saturdays before you get to, you know, get to October, November time.
Gabe, are you still healthy?
Yeah, pretty healthy. We took a couple guys, got banged up last night, but, you know, one guy we're going to get looked at Monday with a shoulder injury. Our quarterback took a shot at his knee last night, but he's a little stiff this morning, but it seems to be okay. But other than that, like I said, we had a few guys last week just coughing and hacking all week long. That kind of took a toll on us last night, but other than that, we're pretty healthy.
Gabe Cesaretti of the Nokomis Redskins off to another 2-0 start. That's kind of becoming the norm for the Redskins program, and I know that's something that you take great pride in.
It is. I mean, it's just more than anything. I just love to see these kids get a little recognition. You know, the harder they work, you know, they deserve. You know, wins are always, you know, what they're looking for, obviously, and it's just nice to see them get a little recognition for it.
All right, Gabe, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, the Fisher Bunnies. And the Redskins next week.
I love listening to Gabe talk.
Oh, that's good. And that's good.
He's just loves what he's doing. I mean, and you know, he's really got that program headed in the right direction. And as he mentioned, next year the conference will be a little bit different, have a little bit different look with some additional teams to it. But, you know, they're doing all right, and he's doing exactly what he needs to do. I think Dave pointed out with a question to Chad earlier about looking ahead. I think Nokomis has a couple of those games where, you know, you don't want them looking ahead. Certainly one with Mont Olive, certainly one with Alton Marquette. That's going to be something that Gabe will probably wipe out of their minds.
Yes.
And say, look, you know, we can't worry about these guys now because this, you know, Fisher's who we're dealing with next week. So,
and Kay Hirsch, you'd probably know this better than I, but when you hear Gabe talk, he just seems to have like that type of personality in his voice to where you can just see high school kids saying, I'm going to run through a wall for that guy.
Yeah, and if there's ever a school that, you know, that is known for running through walls for coaches, it's Nokomis. You know, I mean, I've never been to a Nokomis game where they haven't given everything they've got, you know, going back to the Monticello playoff game last year, you know, whenever, I mean, Monticello was a really good team and really physical, and I think Nokomis just they never gave up. They never, you know, they stuck with it the entire time, and you know, then they're another team that lost a lot from last year's team and brought back a really good squad. So it'll be interesting to see who can step up and help out with, you know, Chaucy and Hamlin. You know, obviously those are some pretty big weapons, but, you know, Cody Nash at wide receiver and Dominic Rupert, you know, had good weeks the first week. I haven't seen their numbers for week two, but I mean, they're going to be a very tough team to beat, you know, especially with dropping down a class, you know, now due to the loss of the co-op. So
Nokomis will play Fisher on Saturday. Friday night, we've been talking about it all morning long. Greenville travels to Carlinville, a game you'll hear on WAOX 105.3 The Ox next Friday night. And on the phone right now, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, Todd Hutchinson, good enough to join us for a few minutes. Hutch, thanks for coming on the show and off to another 2-0 start. Just give us your thoughts on your impressive victory last night against Southwestern.
Well, I thought our kids came out and played well, and we struggled week one in the first half, but, you know, that's to be expected. Sometimes, and we righted the ship there a little bit at the end of the second quarter and in the second half, and then I thought last night we came out from the opening whistle, and, you know, we've got a veteran team, and it's a good group of guys that believe in the system and the program, and you know, they just go to work every day. I thought we had a great week of practice, and I thought that showed up last night.
Well, Hutch, I don't know what you said at halftime of week one, and I certainly don't expect you to tell us here this morning, but I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that conversation because you look like a different club in that third quarter.
Well, I think, you know, all the credit goes to the kids. Honestly, we don't say a whole lot to them. They know. You know, these kids know. They've been around, and they've been in big games, and they know they didn't play very well in the first half. And a lot of that was Litchfield did play well. Litchfield came out and you know, they got a new coach and a new group of guys, and I thought they came out and played well. And then our kids, you know, it's like I said, it's a veteran group, and they righted their own ship, I think, and came out. And, you know, each week's a tough week. Each week's a dogfight in this conference, and you can't overlook anybody, and our kids don't. They just work hard and try to find a way to execute.
Coach, it's a tall order to replace Cameron Walter in the backfield, but so far Eric Turok and Theo Gibbs have done a pretty good job.
Well, they have, and give a lot of credit to our guys up front and our receivers who block. You know, and you're not going to replace a kid like Cameron. Cameron's once every 20, 25 years guy, you know, where you get that kid, and he's just a special athlete. And but Eric and Theo have done a great job and have really kept this offense rolling, you know, as well as, like I said, our guys up front, and our passing game helps open that up. But Theo and Eric have done a great job of coming in and carrying a great load for us.
And I would imagine they enjoyed the temperatures a lot more last night than they did in week one.
Well, I tell you what, week one was tough, and that was part of it too, you know, for both sides and every team that played last week. It was just a tough, grueling game, just a thick, warm game all night long. And last night was a lot nicer, and you just kind of got to go out and concentrate on playing football.
Well, you're going to have a big game next week on the road at Carlinville, and I know every game is one game at a time, Hutch, obviously, but Carlinville went into your place last year, laid it to you, so I would imagine that a little, I don't know if revenge would be the word that you would use, but it's the word I'll use. You probably got a little revenge on your mind.
Yeah, you can use it. We're going to play the next game on our schedule, and like we always did, Carlinville came out last year, and they did. They pounded us, and I thought we learned a lot from that game last year. I thought our kids really grew up a lot from that week, and it helped. I'd prefer not to grow up like that this year. you know, we're a different group, and we've been, you know, these guys have been in two Final Fours and big playoff games, and, you know, every game on our schedule is a big game. You know, Piesaw was a big game last night, and we're looking forward to the challenge. We know Carlinville's got a great program and are well-coached, and our kids are looking forward to going to work Monday and seeing what we can do to find a way.
Hutch, you've been a coach a long time, a variety of different sports. Why is it that, for whatever reason, after whether it be a tough, close loss or maybe an embarrassing loss, what is it about that can just kind of galvanize a team?
Well, that's a great question, you know, and you see it all the time. I think a team that's full of character kids or kids that have a lot of pride, I think, you know, maybe that just allows them to look in the mirror and either rise to the occasion or step back and fold up their tents. And I think last year our kids, and even in the past in some other, you know, years, I think our kids just rise to the occasion. And, you know, we've got good, tough kids, I think, that care about their school and their teammates and their community. And you know, they're not just fighting for themselves. They're fighting for each other and for the Greenville Comets and for Bond County. So we're going to keep doing what we can and see if we can find a way to win this week.
Hutch, another aspect of the game for next week, and if probably without a doubt, if there's two teams in the conference that really reflect, I think, the personality of their head coaches, it's Greenville and it's Carlinville. And that, you know, and I mean that as an extremely positive type thing. And I find it interesting. You mentioned earlier in the interview, you don't have to tell the kids at halftime that they had a poor half because they already knew it. That's the kind of expectation. That's the kind of information you're able to put across just because you're the head coach. They know it.
Well, yeah, we appreciate that. And you know, we've got a great staff that's been together for a long time. And I think we do our work during the week from Monday to Thursday, and we really try to give them ownership during game nights. You know, when we got to step in, certainly that's our job. We're going to step in if we don't like what we see. But we like giving them ownership. It allows them to grow up and take care of their own business. You know, this is their team, and hopefully we're going to be around for a long time, and they've got 4 years to do it. So hopefully from Monday to Thursday, they're picking up on stuff that we're giving them. And then, you know, like you said, they knew they played a poor half, and they knew they had a lot of work to do and had to change their execution. And you know, our kids certainly did that. And we've got a veteran group, I think, that is aware of what's going on around them.
And we talk about Friday Night Lights, coach on the football field, and there's nothing better than, like this next weekend, you're going to Carlinville, and there's nothing better than two good teams going at it on Friday night in high school football.
Well, you're right. It's great. You know, it's what it's all about, really. It's great for the communities and for the fans and for the parents and certainly for the kids that work hard on both sides. you know, it's what high school athletics is all about, and we're just going to go out and try to hopefully put on a better performance than we did last year. We know we're going to work hard this week and get everything we can to try to make next week a good game.
Coach, we were fortunate enough to see you week one. We saw some cramps in that game. Are you relatively healthy going into that Carlinville game?
Yeah, we feel like we are. We came out of last night good, and you know, we got a quick early lead, and then got the clock running early in the third quarter, so we were able to get some guys out. And you know, the cramps weren't as much last night. We did cramp up a little bit the first night, obviously with the weather conditions, but last night was good, and we came out pretty healthy as far as I know right now, and hopefully we're on all cylinders on Friday night.
Well, Hutch, you guys didn't invent the running clock, but, man, you use it about as more than anybody else.
Well, we're not afraid to use it when we can. We don't disrespect anybody involved. You know, it's just our job is to try to put the ball in the end zone and score points and do it as quickly as we can. And some nights we can do it, some nights we can't. But, you know, certainly that's our job is to just try to find ways to win football games.
And you've been doing a real good job of that for a long time now. Hutch, thank you for a few minutes of your time. Good luck next week at Carlinville, and we will talk to you down the road, sir.
You bet, guys. Thanks for all you do.
All right, Todd Hutchinson of the Greenville Comets. And that was a very interesting insight, I thought, into kind of how Hutch runs that Greenville program. Monday through Thursday, they give them the information, and then on Friday, they let the players take ownership. How many coaches are confident enough in their coaching ability to basically say on game day, all right, boys, we've coached you up. We've given you all the information that we can give you. Now it's up to you to go out and execute. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, and that's the right way to build a program, really. You got to let the players execute on the field. And, you know, as long as you're putting the right mindset with the players, then just let them perform.
And you can't do that until, you know, you have guys that are returning year in and year, you know, I mean, you're able to do that whenever you have players that are coming back. You know, you have a nice balance of seniors, juniors, sophomores, you know.
And, when you got a program.
Those kids. Exactly. You know, whenever you build it from, you know, I mean, which, and he inherited a good program too. From Duff, but it like I said, they're just I'm not sure there's a good week to play Greenville. You know, I mean,
not now.
I mean they may lose a game here and there, but they're just a solid.
The thing about Greenville is they were like the program was, you know, just a normal program. Duff showed up, and they took off, and they have not looked back ever since. I mean, it's staggering what they've done in the last 13 to 15 years, just putting up crazy win totals.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's been a little bit, from going back from last year's Vandalia game, there's been a little bit of a some controversy with them and some sportsmanship things. But just from personal observation at the first game, you know, there was a couple times that I was very impressed with their sportsmanship. There was one play that was a late hit out of bounds, just incidental contact, and the Greenville defensive back, you know, went out of his way to apologize and help the Litchfield play, you know, and it's just small things like that. You know, I'm sure there's been, you know, some on the other side of the fence too, but you know, just from a personal perspective, you know, that's they run a really class program.
Oh, I love watching Greenville play. Love watching the Comets, and it's going to be fun next week to watch Greenville and Carlinville go at it. Both clubs 2-0, so really conference championship implications in that ball game next week. You'll hear it on WAOX 105.3 The Ox and streaming at WAOX.com as well. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We are back with more in just a moment.
Here's Danny Russell from Russell Furniture in Staunton.
We have ceramic tile in stock, 12 by 12 for 99 cents a square foot. We have 3/4 inch hardwood in stock for $3.29 a square foot. And we have some new stuff, the LVT wood grain planks. It's the most durable stuff on the market for $2.89 a foot for all you do-it-yourselfers. Or we have professional installation on everything that we sell. Come see us for your free estimate. That's Russell Furniture and Floor Covering in Staunton, Illinois. We'll beat anybody's deal, I'm confident. And we also have 12 months interest-free financing.
If you have an injury that keeps you from doing your job and you need rehabilitation, consider Teamwork Rehab. Our Litchfield location offers work hardening and conditioning, along with traditional physical and occupational therapy services. Our specialized services can transition you from patient to worker faster and safer. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Hospital with 3 locations, Litchfield, Hillsborough, and Nokomis. Give us a call at 532-4160.
Teamwork Rehab. Give them a call today, 532-4160, 532-4160.
And at 9:48, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you this time by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. We'll have highs in the upper 80s, partly cloudy skies for tonight. There is a chance for some rain this evening. We'll have a low of around 65 degrees. For tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a chance for some rain. Expect a high Sunday of around 80 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. Expect highs of around 90. The lows will be in the 70s. At 9:49, we have a temperature reading of 77 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Catch is made by Marcus Sitka. He's still on his feet, makes Tomazoli miss down the sideline. Goodbye, touchdown. First play from scrimmage, touchdown, Bulldogs.
Tomazoli going to hand it off. Oh, big hole for Cole Dibbing, straight up the gut, midfield. It's a foot race for Cole. He's to the 30, to the 20, 10. Five, touchdown, Toppers! Cole Dimming outran them all to the end zone. Holy cow, 93 yards. That was a football game last night in Staunton. Big plays, big hits, and it was good stuff out of the South Central Conference as Staunton got past the Toppers last night, 34-13, but the final score is not really indicative of how close that ball game was. And joining us right now is the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, Mike Parmentier. And coach, that game last night, to me, that was vintage high school football.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I mean, you kind of had a little bit of everything. You had big, long runs. You had great hits. And you had exciting, you know, just exciting football that was, you know, I was really happy to be a part of it. And, again, Coach Duff's got a great program over there. And so, you know, they came over with a with that new offense, and I tell you what, it was really tough. I've never faced anything like that before, and our kids, I thought, did a pretty good job against it. You know, but it's really hard to mimic that in practice, you know, just because it's so different from what you're used to seeing. And I thought they did a tremendous job with it. And you know, last week against Pena in the second half, we didn't play real well, and so we worked on some conditioning. And I thought fourth quarter we really came out and played some really good football and finished the game up, which we had to by outscoring them 13-0 in the fourth quarter. So real happy to be 2-0 right now, and you know, we go on the road to Vandalia with a young football team. So you know we can get better, and we hope to keep improving. And not a lot of talk with this group. They just go out and go to work, and they try to get better every week.
Well, Mike, this game was tight early in the third quarter. The Toppers got the opening kickoff for the third quarter when Wright Down scored a touchdown, then got an interception and had the football back all of a sudden in a one-possession game. But then your defense comes up, probably the biggest point of the ball game when they forced them three and out.
Yeah, we had game planned with, you know, we were playing like a goal line defense early, and it kind of helped us a little bit, but then it kind of hurt us. The Cole Deming had a great ball game and burned us for a long 93-yard run early in the game, and then we kind of went back to our base defense, and I thought that worked out a lot better for us. We weren't taking as many risks or gambles, but, yeah, the defense has proven the last 2 weeks that
you know, I think we've definitely gotten better with our tackling and with our identity. So I was real pleased with our defense because, like you said, you know, Hillsborough came out in the first possession, scored, made it 21-13, I believe, and then we had a little bit of a drive going, and then they made a nice play on defense, intercepted Jake, and came back, and we answered, and then fourth quarter we had an inadvertent whistle that really, boy, that really, you know, I thought the refs did a great job, but boy, that could have been a real game changer.
You were slightly agitated, Mike.
I was very agitated. You know, that happens in high school. That happens in high school football, and you know they apologize, and you know we know the rules, but you know instead of it being first and goal at the inch line, we've got third and goal from the 17, or you know third and goal mm-hmm. from the 17 yard line, and we didn't get it on third down, and then we came up with a great play. Jake had great protection, and Marcus Sitko made an outstanding catch in the corner of the end zone. And I thought that really broke their backs a little bit. They, you know, because like you said, it was one possession game then. And then defensively, I thought we were pretty sound. And I was really pleased with the way we finished the game because, you know, against Pena, we didn't really finish the game in the fourth quarter. And I thought our kids and our conditioning and we had a couple kids back from the week before that were able to play for us that were ineligible because they didn't have enough practices in. So, you know, we came out injury-free again, which is really key at any time of the year. But, you know, I just like the way we're playing right now. And, you know, our kids are hungry, and it's just it's a fun group because they're so young, and everything's new to them. So other than Jake and Dustin Scheller and those kind of guys, Jack Jones and Quentin Brown, we don't have a lot of experience, so those guys have done a great job leading us, and everybody else has kind of followed suit and joined in.
Mike, you mentioned how you have a young ball club and that they're a rather quiet bunch, but I suspect that those seniors are not quite as quiet as the rest of the group.
No, they've really been key in vocalizing, and like I said, Jake and Dustin Scheller and Jack Jones and Quentin Brown have been there before, but you know have had the experiences. You know, we were in the playoffs 2 years ago. We didn't make it last year, but those guys all played a lot. And so the kids do a real good job of feeding off of our captains, and you know, and like I said, it's just refreshing to me. You got young guys that are wanting to learn, and you know we cut down on our penalties last night, and we did have one turnover, but you know, and that's not always bad, but you know we're trying to be zero turnovers and limit our penalties. We limited our penalties last night, and like I said, and we beat a good football team last night, and I'm just you know very excited to be 2-0 at this time. You know going on the road to Vandalia next week is going to be a tough thing for us. Obviously, we've been home for the first 2 weeks, so we're going to have to get our visiting shoes on and go over and play some focused football and again try to limit mistakes and turnovers.
You talked about Cole Deming of Hillsborough, Coach. He's my neighbor, just lives down the road from me, and young man's got a pretty good looking future in high school football. He's quite an athlete.
Yeah, he you know, we really tried to key him as much as we possibly could, and then I really think Tomazzoli is a great quarterback, and Coach Duff pulled out a little bit of option on us, and that hurt us. You know, we weren't really prepared for that, and but like I said, Deming coming off tackle, we really tried to, you know, we really keyed him a lot, especially in the second half. Because he had a big first half against us, but like I said, they've done a great job with that single wing offense. And again, you know, you play Hillsborough, it's going to be a black and blue football game and a hard hitting game, and you know, it's just good competition. And like you said, I thought it was a very exciting football game.
Well, Coach, your quarterback's pretty good too, Jake Bruhn. Off to about as good a start as you could hope for a senior quarterback. I was thinking probably the only thing left for him to do maybe sell some pork patties pregame or at halftime, because other than that, he's pretty much doing it all. He's getting interceptions, throwing touchdowns, running the ball. What more can he do?
Yeah, I did the stats last night, and you know, he's thrown for he's like 20 for 26 on the season with 6 touchdowns and 1 interception, and he's rushed for over 200 yards, and now we got him returning kickoffs and punt returns. Last night, like you said, I think I had him down. We charged him for 303 total yards last night,
wow,
including passing, rushing, interception return for 31 yards. He had a kickoff, couple kickoff returns and a couple punt returns. So 303 yards, you know, total is just unbelievable. He just, he seems to get better, you know, every week. Very humble kid. Plays hard. You know, their family is a hard nosed type of family and blue collar family, and he fits the mold to a T. So you know, like you said, I'm real proud of Jake and the leadership that he's brought to this very young and inexperienced team that we have.
Well, Mike Parmentier, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, off to an 2-0 start. Thanks for your time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, all right. Mike
Parmentier.
And you said he was a little excited in that inadvertent whistle last night. That's hard to imagine.
Slightly.
Just slightly.
He got his point across. Hey, we got 30 more minutes of Sports Saturday coming up. We'll talk to Pat Rentz from Litchfield following NBC News Radio's. We have Fighting Illini football coming up at 10:30 here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Back with more in 4 minutes.
And at 10:06, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Tobin Ott. And Kyle Hirschman from the Journal News is joining us in studio today on Sports Saturday. We are in overtime. Fighting Illini football coming up at the bottom of the hour. They are hosting Cincinnati today. We'll have it for you 10:30 here on FM 106. Right now, a chance to catch up with the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Pat Rentz, joining us on Sports Saturday. And, Pat, it was an interesting week for the Purple Panther football program, to say the least. Just kind of give us a timeline, if you could, from the last time we talked to you on Saturday to now and everything you've learned.
Yeah, it's been a big week. You know, came out of last week against Greenville, injury to the quarterback position. So the week has been kind of a rebuilding the depth on the offense and kind of retooling that to try to put the guys in spots to be successful. And so that's kind of where we came through that and had a good game plan and came out, and obviously the offense was able to put some points on the board, so saw a lot of good things there, you know, so that moving forward, we're feeling good where that's heading. So,
Coach, was there a little bit of gamesmanship on your part? Because I remember watching the pregames yesterday, David Seaball seemed to be taking all the snaps at quarterback, but we had heard Alex Hull was going to be the starter. And obviously, you know, Gillespie didn't see any film on Alex Hull from last week because he didn't play in the quarterback position. Was that your thought process? Was it to maybe, you know, maybe have them expect to see David Seaball back there during passing plays and then, you know, come out with Alex Hull throwing most of the game?
Yeah, you don't really know what the other team is prepared for, or what defensive game plan they've got coming out. You know, we had an idea of what we thought we would see, and we knew Al was ready to go, and we were going to get him warmed up regardless, whether that meant getting early snaps at quarterback or receiver or wherever. You know, didn't really think that whether or not he took those snaps, you know, 20 minutes before the game was going to really make or break the game. So, yeah, kind of wanted to keep that card and just see what they would kind of roll out on that first possession on defense.
You know, we talked before the season started that you really wanted Alex to have a good experience this year. How do you think he handled kind of the pressure being, you know, back at quarterback, you know, and after all that happened last season, you know, which happened in the Gillespie game, you know, how do you think he handled himself last night?
You know what? It was pretty amazing. Al has faced a lot of adversity, through sports. Not, you know, nothing life threatening or anything like that, but just kind of the ups and downs of competition. And he did a fantastic job last night. Came out and offense started driving the first series, and got ourselves in a bad second and 18 kind of position. And that series ended in a pick. That was run back into the red zone, and Al responded great. Came off, was positive, took accountability for it, and kept pumping the guys up. Hey, we're going to do this. I'm still in it. We're, you know, it was great, and that attitude carried through the whole night. You know, there were times where, you know, we made some plays that you'd like to do a redo on, and it wasn't just him, but he kept motivating the guys, and I'm just really proud of Al. And you know, of course, you want to, for that kind of redemption, you want to see him come back in and beat Gillespie, the team that, you know, last year that was kind of where it all went down with him. And but I think it almost speaks more to his character that he came in and it wasn't a perfect night. He did still face adversity, but responded perfectly. So very happy with Al.
Well, and he had a couple big plays. You know, the first touchdown to Austin Bryant, and he had a nice throw to Cole Grossenheider, where he kind of ducked out of pressure and was able to use some of his athleticism and scramble and make something happen where there might have been nothing there.
Absolutely, we talked to the guys a lot about, you know, second effort and even defensively, when you're facing a runner like Taberzi, that's what it takes. And on offense, you know, several of our big plays happened as a result of guys sticking with it. You know, the play seems busted at first, there's pressure, and so Al gets flushed out, and he stays with it, and we call it a scramble drill, where, you know, your initial routes aren't open, or the quarterback gets flushed the opposite direction, so then you've got a secondary route that you're going to run, and the guys just kept fighting and adjusted, and yeah, really stretched some of those plays out to have big plays for us.
Coach, one of the things that didn't necessarily bite you in the backside in week one was the turnovers. You put the ball on the ground a lot, but were able to jump on those balls. This week, a little bit different story, as turnovers seem to be what kept you out of the game. I imagine that's something you'll be preaching to your kids this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no doubt that in week one, we were catching those breaks, whether it was not losing the ball or getting an interception or getting the fumble on defense. And that's the great thing about the game. You just don't know how the ball is going to bounce. And last night definitely felt the opposite. It was, you know, the ball didn't bounce our way, or we couldn't get that interception that went through the hands, or, you know, and then on the opposite side for Gillespie, you know, we had a fumble on a kick return that bounced right back up into the guy's hands. You know, so that was tough. That was tough to deal with, and ball security is definitely something we've been preaching a lot on, and got to protect that ball, and give credit to Gillespie for making those big plays.
Pat, we've heard a little bit about Austin Bryant. He had a big week for you last week, had another nice night for you last night. He is a very explosive playmaker.
Yeah, very, very talented, very fast, a very, very good receiver, and what we've kind of started to see this year, you know, you get to that senior year and you hope things, as coaches we kind of say, things slow down for you, you know, and the game seems to slow down. And I think we're kind of starting to see that with Austin a little bit. You know, that varsity experience is starting to pay off, and you know, he's catching the ball at full speed and running, getting yards after the catch, and so we're very happy for him, and it's been exciting watching him have fun out there.
And, Coach, you've really established quite the offensive attack in the first 2 weeks, combining for 56 total points. Really, I imagine what you'll be preaching the rest of the way is trying to get your defense to step up and maybe hunker down there and try and stop the run. That was something Gillespie was able to do really well last night, was run the ball.
Yeah, doggone, I'm going to sit down and talk to that defensive coordinator. I don't know what he's doing. yeah, you know what? It's always nice when you can put points up on the board and guys are getting in the end zone and having fun and getting, you feel that reward for your hard work. And defensively, yeah, I mean, we've been fighting and rallying to the ball. And, you know, that first half against Greenville week one, things were really clicking, and then they kind of exploded the second half. And, you know, then we go to the opposite spectrum. So we faced the aerial attack week one. Now we face the power attack of Gillespie, and they are either going to spread it wide and make you stop that jet, or they're going to run Taberzi right up the middle, or that quarterback counter that they've got is tough. You know, a lot of times you don't have to account for that 11th man, because the quarterback doesn't always run it, but in their case, they've got a great athlete back there, and
And so that was a challenge. You know, it was kind of a tough match. And Coach Pergin does a great job getting those guys going and great game plan. And yeah, it was tough to slow them down.
It looked like, you know, especially later in the game, that injuries might have been a little bit of a factor, especially with Cole Blankenship. You know, he had to be helped off the field a little bit. You know, did that affect your defense any, you know, later in the game?
You know what, Cole, and we're just kind of getting out of film session right now. Cole is playing a great game. And anytime you know that you're coming up against a power offense, you know that the linebackers are going to need to have a big game. And we were talking about that going into this week. You know, last week the challenge was kind of on our DBs and, you know, Howard gets the pick six, and those guys really came out fired up. And so this week it was the linebackers and that and those linemen. And Cole was doing a fine job and just really, really getting in there and being physical. And because you got to do that with Gillespie, and because they're going to come out hitting. And so, yeah, it took a toll on him, and he's sore today. And, you know, nothing bad that's going to, you know, linger on in the other week. So that was good news. But, yeah, he had given it all last night.
And, Coach, you mentioned last week that Andy Kassebaum is your offensive play caller. Who does call your defensive plays?
I think I know the answer.
That would be myself.
That's what I thought.
I didn't mean to offend you by that question.
He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't himself.
Yeah. So it may have to be a new guy this next week.
Pat, I guess that's the beautiful thing and maybe the frustrating thing about being a head football coach. You go through all your offseason, you've got this great game plan, you've got all these expectations, and then in the first half, or I guess early in the second half of the first game, kind of that game plan out the window, and now you're kind of reshuffling. So it sounds like moving forward, the Litchfield Purple Panthers are going to have a little bit of a different, I don't know, plan, I suppose.
Sure, yeah, you gotta kind of adjust, and you know what, same thing as a teacher in the classroom, but it's really even more so, you know, on the game field Friday night. You got to be flexible. You can't just stick to the same thing. You know, plans change. Defenses make adjustments. Offenses make adjustments. And if you just keep rolling out the same exact thing, you're gonna get taken advantage of there. And because these coaches, there's some good coaches in this conference that know what they're doing and have a lot of experience. And so we're trying to keep people on their toes and just make sure that we're maximizing our opportunities with our guys.
Pat Rintz, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, thank you so much for some of your time, and we will talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Pat Rintz from the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and they may be 0-2, Kay Hirsch, but to me, just from seeing them last week, different-looking club.
Yeah, I think the attitude's a lot different. You know, they were down, you know, by 15 points against Gillespie, and they still, you know, fought. You know, it's just the turnovers, you know, like David said, you know, the turnovers hurt them a lot. You know, they've got the weapons, you know, to do it. You know, and they got a little bit of size, maybe not as much as some of the clubs. Gillespie's had a big front line last night that like Pat said, I think that, you know, with the power running attack, I think that kind of took a toll on them. But you know, I mean, I think it's going to be a process. And the thing that impressed me with Pat is that, you know, he said right away that they weren't going to worry as much about, they're trying to take the emphasis off the wins and losses and try to control the things that they can control, effort, execution, and things like that. And I think that, you know, I think once you start doing that, the wins will come.
Absolutely. We have Fighting the Illini football coming up at 10:30 here on FM 106. We need a break, though, back in just a moment.
In today's financial world, it's never been more important to have confidence in your local bank. Here at the First National Bank of Litchfield, we've never stretched ourselves too thin or gone beyond our limits. We've stayed true to our customers and the community we serve. First National Bank of Litchfield is locally owned and operated, and you can count on us to be here in the future. The staff you see are your friends and neighbors and will always call you by name. It's nice to know that one thing is for certain. You, the customer, continue to be our biggest asset. Because of you, we keep growing and keep in touch with the spirit of the community. We truly appreciate the trust you've placed in us and will continue to make our customers' satisfaction our top priority.
First National Bank of Litchfield.
Member FDIC.
Frank the Frontier Buffalo here. With Frontier's hot deal on high-speed internet, I'm staying cool. That's good, because I'm not built for pool parties. When I do a cannonball, they have to refill the pool.
Call 1-888-FRONTIER. Switch to Frontier high-speed internet. Just $19.99 per month with qualifying phone service guaranteed for 2 years. Plus, free internet activation and a free Wi-Fi router. No contracts and no early termination fees. You can't get BS from a Buffalo. Call 1-888-FRONTIER. Limited time offer. Service subject to availability. Actual speeds may vary. Taxes, surcharges, and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
And at 10:20, let's take a look at the weather forecast. Sunny skies for today. We'll have a high in the upper 80s. Partly cloudy for tonight with a chance for some rain. Expect a low of around 65 degrees. Partly cloudy skies for tomorrow. There still is a chance for rain on Sunday. We'll have a high of around 88 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. We'll have highs in the low 90s. The lows will be in the 70s. At 10:20, we have a temperature reading of 80 degrees. Sports Saturday continues in 90 seconds.
Ameriprise Financial knows there's more to financial planning than pie charts and spreadsheets. So their advisors take the time to get to know you and your dreams first. Maybe you're saving for a comfortable retirement or to send your kids to college. Perhaps you're starting a business or thinking about an estate plan. Whatever your needs, Ameriprise Financial Advisor Lonnie Bathurst will work with you one-to-one from day one to help you feel more optimistic about your financial future.
Call me, Lonnie Bathurst, at 217-324-3203 or stop by our location at 510 North State Street in Litchfield, Illinois.
Right now, you can get 12% back on everything you buy at Rule King.
12% back on everything? Really?
Yes, really.
Rule King in Vandalia, Litchfield, Effingham, and Benton is giving you 12% back on everything. You get 12% back on clothes, 12% back on boots, on pet supplies, yard supplies, toys, groceries, cleaning supplies.
Wow,
tools,
I guess they do mean everything.
Right now, get 12% back on everything you buy at Rule King, and they mean everything.
12% back is a mail-in rebate in the form of a merchandise credit. See store for details. Sale ends September 7th.
Thinking of starting your own business? C&B Bank & Trust has financing that fits your vision. From business loans to online or remote banking, C&B Bank & Trust has whatever you need to get your business up and running. Stop in or call one of their experienced commercial loan officers today. Visit any of C&B Bank & Trust's 12 convenient locations or always online at cnbil.com. C&B Bank & Trust, now with 12 locations to better serve you. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Fighting Illini football coming up at 10:30. Hosting Cincinnati today. That's live at the bottom of the hour here on WSMI FM 106. As Kyle Hirschman has joined us in studio today from the Journal News. We mentioned at the start of the show, he's got that retro look going.
Yes.
Bring in, what was it, class back to print journalism?
A little sophistication.
Sophistication. That's what it was. Excuse me. Sophistication.
Yeah. We can't spell sophistication. That's why we say class.
Yeah, class is much easier to spell. I can spell that.
We just have to know how to say it.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you're doing it for a good cause.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, I actually had the idea whenever we were coming back on our vacation from Washington, D.C., and I was bored and sometimes my mind wanders. So,
does that happen for print guys too?
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought that, you know, it might be a neat idea to. Whenever you see old sports reporters in movies from like the 1920s and 30s and that, you know, you have a kind of a look in your head, you know, dress pants, dress shirt, you know, tie, suspenders, and a fedora. And I thought it might be a fun idea to do that. I am not outgoing enough to actually pull that off on my own. My brother once said that the reason I work in newspapers is because I can say whatever I want and I don't have to talk to anybody.
Said the guy on the radio.
Which brother said that?
Daniel. Yeah. Okay. One of my least favorite. But what I ended up doing was, after we got back, I decided that, I needed to take a step out of my comfort zone, but I might as well do it for a good cause. So my grandmother, Virginia, is a breast cancer survivor. My great uncle, Lyndall Herschelman in Carlinville, is a cancer survivor as well. I wanted to do something to you know, as a tribute to them. So I put out a challenge on in one of my columns that if I raised $500, I would dress in this retro style for the entire school year.
Not football season.
School year, yeah. Which whenever I tell people that, they look at me like I'm insane. which is I'm pretty much used to anyway. But it's, you know, it. And like I said, I don't dress like this on Sunday paper nights because I don't actually have anything to cover. But most of the time, Monday through Thursday, plus any events after the school, you know, Fridays and Saturdays, whenever I'm covering something, you'll see me in the fedora and get up. I ended up raising over $1,000, which, you know, is still just a drop in the bucket. There's a lot of cancer. I raised it for the Montgomery County Cancer Association, and they have a lot of great fundraising teams, like the National Bank team and Stamp Out Cancer, that have done amazing work, raising tens of thousands of dollars. My goal was to, if I can make some family that is dealing with this disease life just a little bit easier. The MCCA does an excellent job. They helped my grandmother out, Alicia Grossenheider, whose son plays for Litchfield football team right now. And you'll know which one he is. He's the one with the pink gloves and the pink shoes on. But she has been a longtime family friend and has really helped my grandmother out. So I wanted to do something to give back to that organization. I figure, you know, it's definitely a talking, you know, point. You know, I've had a lot of comments about it, and, you know, the referee last night asked me about it, you know, it's a way to bring, you know, some recognition. I got a breast cancer pin on my suspenders that I've been wearing too. It's definitely a way to bring some more emphasis to the cause. And, you know, like I said, I've gotten a lot of compliments, and the biggest trouble was finding a fedora big enough for my head.
I would imagine so. You have a very large head.
I do.
An unseemly large melon.
I actually am wearing, you know, you guys can't see me right now, but I'm wearing two sets of headphones, one for each ear.
Now, Kyle, if people wanted to continue to donate, obviously they can.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to make the initial donation at the next MCCA meeting, which I believe is September the 12th. But throughout the year, I mean, the MCCA does such good for, you know, so many people. You know, anytime anybody wants to donate, you know, I'd be glad to, you know, act as a go-between for that. They can make checks out to the MCCA and drop them off at the Hillsboro or Litchfield Journal News offices, you know, or mail them to us. I don't know our mailing address off the top of my head. I know it's in Hillsboro. But no, and you can contact us through Facebook or my email address, which is jansports@consolidated.net. And, you know, like I said, I was tempted to offer to shave my head for $1,000. I'm glad I didn't do that because, like I said, I hit that goal as well, and I would not look good bald.
Okay.
So
you'll look pretty good bald, though, for $5,000, wouldn't you?
I would look pretty good bald for $5,000.
Oh, wow. Hey, don't let him put words
in
your
mouth.
How about
that, huh?
Wow.
Come on now.
Wow.
Come on.
Hey, if you're going to do that, then shoot for $10,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know.
Your hair's worth $10,000?
My hair would definitely be worth $10,000.
Not from where I'm sitting, buddy.
No.
Hey, you better check with the best half.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, don't make any decisions that are going to get you on the couch.
Well, we were already trying, which, by the way, also today is my daughter Grace's second birthday,
happy
so
birthday.
I wanted to wish her a happy birthday. I'm sure she's listening and doing our taxes while she's at it. But she's a very, very advanced, very bright girl. But
doing a little calculus on the side
well. Which, yeah. And that's another bonus too. She loves the hat, so
nice.
You know she's you know takes it. But Mary is already my beautiful wife. Mary is already vetoed. Next year, I thought, you know, I'd say, hey, you know, if I raise like $2,000, I could just go straight mustache for the entire year, and she's already vetoed that. So
not happening. Huh?
We'll have to see what comes up with that.
Well, Kyle, that's a great thing that you've done to support the MCCA here in Montgomery County. And we are out of time for Sports Saturday. Karish, thank you so much for coming in studio.
Yep, thanks for having me.
We'll do it again sometime.
For Tobinot, Terry Tote, David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done. We've got Fighting Illini football coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Illini hosting Cincinnati this morning. They will kick off at 11. The pregame show just seconds away here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.